Okay, I'm not sure if you all heard that, but on my side I did, and the recording has officially begun. Lissa, you should see that as well. Welcome, welcome everyone. It is April, wow, what is it? The 5th, I believe, 4/5/23. Maybe that's an interesting date. I don't know. But welcome. If you are here for LHON Live, you're in the right place. This is our opportunity every month to meet and connect with our LHON community. This call, as you probably have seen in the emails and posts over the past several years, is for anyone who's a part of the LHON community. Those folks, many of whom have maybe been affected by LHON, have different degrees of vision remaining, but also folks who are family members. We have many family members every month. You can call with those loved ones, or you can call on your own on their behalf. And I appreciate you all being here for this tonight. Just to give you a little background, I know we have some new callers tonight. My name is Andy Marks. I'm one of the co-hosts here, joined by Jessica Loomer. You there, Jess?
Hi, everyone.
And each month we host these calls together. So Jessica and I actually met way back in June of 2014. I hesitate when I say that these days. At
Good.
What was our first LHON conference.
For a very fair price.
Well, that's what I'm
we're
saying.
Hearing a little background noise yes. there, but
Comps.
If we're not able to,
Comps.
If you're not Comps. Able to mute yourself, we can isolate that. It sounds like maybe that was done already, but thank you for muting yourself. Lisan may live to you if we need to take care of some of that. But thank you for being here. Just like I said, Jess and I met back in Pittsburgh in 2014 at what was the first LHON conference for both of us. It was not the first one overall, but we met there and quickly realized what many folks realize at their first LHON conference, which is simply how amazing it is to share space with other people who are part of the LHON community. Because most of us go through our lives after we're affected by LHON, constantly being reminded how different and unique our experiences are. But despite that 1000% being true, a lot of us share those experiences in a really almost shocking way. In other words, a lot of us live our lives very similarly, despite not always living next to each other. So it's a really cool thing to share experiences. To share those experiences in person. And we wanted to find a way to hopefully spread that benefit throughout the year without having to fly to Pittsburgh every month, despite really enjoying our time there in Pittsburgh. So in August of that year, August 2014, we had our first LHON Live conference. And as many of you have heard me say over the years, we've been doing this every month since then with varied format types. Sometimes we have guest speakers, sometimes we talk about specific topics. Sometimes we bring questions that have been up in a Facebook group. Last month, many of you may have been here when we had a guest speaker come from the Blind Kitchen, I believe I got that right, and shared her experiences and tips and tricks. Tonight, we'll be mainly talking about topics that were brought up earlier or topics that come up throughout the call. There are really very few guardrails and guidelines, excuse me, for this conversation. The only thing we will remind you is that if topics come up that may be sensitive or that we think this room is not equipped to give you perfect answers to, we may direct you to some professionals, whether it be on medical advice or even legal advice in those regards. But really, feel free to ask anything you'd like, and we will do our best job to point you in the right direction or give you answers ourselves. With that, before we get into topics, Jess, you and I didn't do too much prep for this call, so I don't really know how you're doing. How are things there in Denver?
Doing pretty great. Oh gosh, it was 70 degrees this weekend and it was 15 degrees running this morning. So yeah, we're prepared for everything and anything over here. So what about you?
I'm good. When is the CIM? Is that in the past or not CIM? When is Boston? That's in April, right? But you haven't had it yet, or
yes.
Have you?
Yeah, Boston is April 17th. So we are days away from the Boston Marathon. So pretty exciting.
Okay. This is your first or no?
Second Boston Marathon. First one was 2018 and it downpoured rain. And this weather for Boston, I looked earlier. I don't know. I probably looked to all my New Englanders to give me a better gauge on this. But I saw 80s, which is not great
either. That's not what you want.
No. So yeah, it's gonna be a really good adventure.
My life has been adjacent to running culture enough for me to know the 80s is much better as a spectator than as a runner.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah,
keep your fingers crossed for me out there.
I'm keeping my eye on the calendar, knowing taxes are due here in the U.S. in 10 more days. So keep that in mind if you are like me and haven't done them yet. But no, things are good. I'm here in Hoboken, New Jersey, for those folks who don't know, just across the river from Manhattan. So things are good. Jess, were there specific topics you want to make sure we get to tonight other than the notes I took beforehand?
Notes for sure. I definitely wanted to throw it to Maria to kind of talk conference for a few minutes. But I'm going to call you out and also share that Andy got a dog. And so maybe even talking dog life as a blind person. So that's the other topic I was going to put you on the spot for. But yeah, I would say definitely wanted to chat conference for a couple minutes to pass to Maria.
Yeah, Maria, if you don't mind, we haven't muted anyone. So unless you muted yourself, you should still be unmuted here. Would love to pass it to you for a few minutes to kind of talk conference high level. And also I know Megan asked specifically about the format. So maybe the different forums we'll have for the conference. And even for those folks who are not able to make it in person, what options they may have to participate virtually if there are opportunities, or how they can watch videos after the fact.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Again, it's Maria Johnson. I live in San Diego, and I have been affected for 9.5 years. And this year, our conference is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it will be for the dates, June 29th, June 30th, July 1st, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So first things first, if you're even thinking about maybe going, you want to book your hotel. You want to book the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. And I say Saturday night, although folks can leave after the conference, which ends roughly around 4 p.m. Usually that's a really great time for everyone to kind of hang out and kind of get to know new friends better and kind of keep the continuing the conversation and connection with old friends that they only see once a year at a conference through Saturday evening. So most folks fly out on Sunday. Now, the conference starts about 3 p.m. on Thursday. So as far as booking flights and whatnot, or if you're driving in, keep that in mind. 3 o'clock Thursday, there is a kickoff event. I don't have too many details about that, but that's at 3. We later that evening have a mixer of sorts, kind of an icebreaker, where folks will gather in a designated area and kind of see who's there, who came in, old friends, new friends, meeting new families, rekindling friendships that maybe we haven't been in person ever, or maybe haven't been in person for just a couple of years. Maybe you've only seen some of the folks that attend on Zoom calls. Maybe you've only had phone calls with them, but that's the chance to really kind of ignite the connection and conversation for the weekend. The conference sessions will start on Friday morning with welcome sessions, going through the day with breaks and lunch, and ending about 4 o'clock. We then have a reception at 5:30. Then that rolls into a energy for life banquet that starts at 6:30. And everyone is encouraged to attend the banquet, which is would be included in your registration. We will have section and tables, more like tables dedicated to LH1 attendees. So we will all be sitting together, and it's a really, really nice event. Dinner, we went last year. Dinner is usually really good. Lots of conversation, big round tables, and you know, you can kind of mingle around if you want. The next day, Saturday, again, a full day of sessions starting at 8 a.m., going till 4 p.m. Again, breakfast, continental breakfast, lunch, breaks included. And then, as I said before, Saturday afternoon/evening turns into just a really great time to decompress after conference, but to really, really get to know some of the people you've met or haven't seen in a while, and just hang out for the rest of the evening at the hotel. And again, most people fly out on Sunday. Megan, you said Megan had a question about the format. What exactly did she want to know?
Oh, Maria, I was just saying that I was asking you guys questions anyway. So I'm sure if I had questions, other people had questions.
Okay. So, yeah, well, if you want to talk about the format, that's pretty much the schedule.
Yeah, I think you covered it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. You know, so Friday and Saturday being our full days of sessions, we do have our own room at the hotel, and all sessions will be held in the one ballroom that will be kind of dedicated to the LHON agenda. There is a UMDF family patient conference symposium going on at the same time, and you are welcome to attend any UMDF family patient sessions as well. If it's a 2 o'clock session that you'd rather go to that UMDF is hosting, you're more than welcome to go over there to their session. If the 2 o'clock we have isn't, you know, maybe, you know, you have somebody staying there to hear and you want to go somewhere else, you can switch back and forth to UMDF symposium sessions. That's not a problem at all. Your registration covers all sessions. But we this year will have very much like what we've had in the past, our sessions on science, community updates. We will have the fan favorite Living with LHON panels. We're having two of them this year. We are going to have a assistive technology session. We're going to have a navigating employment session. We're going to have a mindset positive mindset through challenging times for folks with disabilities. We're going to have coffee and conversation one morning with different tables set up with folks who will be there who could, you know, have those conversations about, and this is all subject to change, about our LHON DCP, which is our data collection program, support and guidance for mental well-being and disabilities, and also a low vision specialist, and possibly, I'm saying possibly, have different devices and products there for people to see, look at, touch, feel, which we don't always all get that opportunity just because we just don't have those resources close by to us. So we're working with a local organization to see what they're able to help us out with that morning, and they would be there all day. So that's the gist of it. If you want to know anything more as far as booking hotel, registering for the conference, which everyone has to register because we need to know account for food and the banquet and all of that, or to watch past videos from conferences for many, many years gone by, as Andy said, they've been going on for years, you will find links to all of that on lhon.org under the conference tab. So it's all there. Click, click, clickety, click, click, and you can make it all happen for you to attend at the end of June in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we want to see a big turnout. We already have a ton of people registered. I'm super excited. And I know there's a ton more who have told me they're coming, who I haven't seen on the registration list. So any questions at any time, I do the social media postings, and I please feel free to tag me and in any of the comments, if you have questions or any other comments about the conference, and I can, you know, try, you know, if it tags me, it'll ping me that someone's asked something and I can get on there and try and answer for you. Now, the one thing Andy said was, is there a way for folks to participate during the conference? At this time, no, we've never done any kind of live stream or anything like that. At this point, we don't have that on our agenda or in our plan, but yes, we do record every session so that people who aren't able to attend are able to view those recordings on the YouTube channel just in a matter of weeks right after conference. So that's the best we've got right now. We are looking into maybe doing some future stuff, which is, you know, maybe where people can put in questions while sessions are going on. But right now, it's simply recordings and they will be posted later for your viewing pleasure. So that's
awesome,
that's
Maria.
It.
I will highlight to everyone that those videos are super, super valuable. So if you're looking forward to the conference and want to get a sense of what's available there, as Maria said, you can watch tons of really countless videos. You can probably be watching videos from now until the conference begins in June if you really just want to start the marathon now. But as Maria said, those will be posted after the conference sometime in July, I assume. But there's also really immeasurable benefit of being there in person to be able to have one-on-one conversations with folks. If you've ever had a one-on-one phone call with someone with LHON to share those experiences, the value, the benefit there is just multiplied by being able to have that experience in person. So really encourage anyone who has the opportunity to be there. All of us have made it to conferences. All of us have also missed conferences. So if you miss a conference, that's okay. And I don't want you to feel like you've lost an opportunity. You've missed out on something you'll never be able to get back. There will be other conferences, but if you get the chance to go this year, I really encourage you all to do so. I grew up in Charlotte, so it's a favorite city of mine as well. So I hope you all enjoy your time there.
Can I say one more thing? I want to tag on to what you said. Is that this conference, just like these calls, are for everybody. They're for affected, carriers, loved ones, sighted supporters, you know, the whole family, because there's going to be others, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, partners, husband, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends. There's going to be other people there, because some folks have said to me like, yeah, it's just for affected people. No, no, no. Yes, the affected folks get to meet other affected folks, but other moms get to meet other moms. Other dads get to meet other dads. Other partners, husbands, wives, partners, girlfriends, boyfriends get to meet other husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends of affected. So there's somebody there for everyone to say, oh my gosh, me too, or you too, and you're not alone, because this is a family. This is a family disease, because even if you're not a carrier, you may still be trying to help your affected loved one, or a carrier who, you know, has their own worries about things. So there's people there that you will match up with, you will connect to, you will relate to on every level. So don't think it's only for, well, it's only for a carrier or affected. No, 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 no. It's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than that.
Maria, I have a question on the registration. I did sign Chloe up for the hotel, but when I went to register her, my understanding was I shouldn't register her until she hears back to see if she qualifies for the scholarship she applied for. So should I still register her or wait to hear back?
Wait to hear back. The I did mention that the scholarships, it is coming into the end. The scholarship deadline is April 15th. And that information, I'm sorry, I should have said it. That information is also on the LHON.org under the conference tab. And that's for any kind of financial assistance. If you need that, you need to fill that out and submit it by the 15th of this month. And yes, wait until you hear back from her scholarship. So it's okay if you haven't registered yet. Wait till you hear back about her application. So good question.
Great. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, Maria, thank you so much for those updates. I'm sure there may be some other questions on the conference. So if those come up later on, feel free to let us know. But in the interest of time, we will continue to kind of jump to some of these other questions that came up. Go ahead.
I just got a question in asking if there's any way to help any of the scholarship funds or where those scholarship funds come from.
That would be maybe Alyssa can answer it.
Yeah, I would say if anyone wanted to go to the UMDF's LHON page, there is a button for LHON Project Fund, and any donation made there would be helpful in offsetting costs used to defray scholarships. It's also used for funding research and other efforts that help with education and other work that we do to support anything for LHON. But that's where I would go. Go to umdf.org. I can pull the actual link, but it's their LHON page has the button to contribute to LHON Project Fund.
Great. Thank you.
No, thank you for that question. Obviously, we appreciate any support given as part of those scholarships, but also, as Alyssa mentioned, to all of the other great work that UMDF is doing on LHON's behalf and that other LHON groups are doing. There's constantly different ways of folks doing fundraisers and things like that to raise money for UMDF, and really appreciate all the hard work that everyone does to donate there in their own way. Jess, let's go ahead and move over to one other question we have here. Really the only other question that came up, although I have one other topic I want to talk about based on something you said. And that question was, I think it came from Michelle for her daughter, but we're talking specifically about white canes here. I know you and I both have white canes that we use somewhat regularly. It's only been a couple hours since I was walking home from the train with my own white cane. But before I give my own advice, I figure I'd look to you. What tips, tricks, advice do you have for new white cane users?
Oh yeah, this is such a good question. And props to the mom that's going to give her daughter support on it, because it's amazing. It gives us wings, right? I would say the hardest thing I had to overcome with my white cane was honestly owning it and just owning that to like rock the white cane and just go for it and clear the seas or part the seas, as everybody says. And once I owned it and just rocked that thing, then it was super easy for me to get around. I mean, now, gosh, I travel solo all the time. I'm actually flying home for Easter Thursday night, and yeah, traveling solo all the time, flying to Boston by myself. And it literally just gives me the mobility and like ability to do everything else. O&M training is obviously like 100% necessary just to make sure you're using your cane properly and doing the right things. They also give like a ton of different choices of canes. So a cane will always be for free when you go through O&M. So definitely, I mean, maybe you need two canes. Maybe you need one cane for your purse and one cane for your I don't know, the front door when you forget another cane. So definitely make sure you kind of tap into that. But there's a bunch of different like tips and things like that. So I just kind of explore what works best for you. I would say like as a cane user, the type of cane I had when I first lost vision in comparison to the type of cane I use now is super different. And so there's definitely options to kind of know that. But gosh, now that I have a cane, I feel like I go everywhere and anywhere, and nothing really stops me. The places that it's really useful to have a cane, because I do have some vision that, I could totally like walk the dog around the block without my cane. However, it would be a lot easier and safer and smarter for me to use my cane, if there was ice or people coming or anything like that. But also like the airport, instead of looking a little like sketchy or suspicious or rude, it's great when I have my cane at the airport and ask for help. And it's just, I mean, it's the easiest way to get around the airport. So that's been fantastic. And then trains and obviously different things of transportation, shadows and things like that. It's super sunny here in Denver. So I do better when it's sunny outside, but when it does get really gray and gloomy, like that's definitely a time I need my cane. I would say it's given me all my independence back that I needed. So super excited for it. And I have a couple. So that's my other tip, is like, I just have a couple of them just in case. I don't know. You never know when you're going to misplace it or it's going to get moved and you didn't move it, but you can't find it. And now you need to leave your house in the next 5 minutes. So I always have a couple of those around. There's a couple brands out there too. Like Ambutech is one. There's a couple of carbon ones that's always super light and easy. So you can just like throw in your backpack as needed. So that's helpful. I would say I got wings. What about you, Andy?
Sure. Yeah. No, I love so much of what you said, and I'm going to want to respond to a lot of it, and some of it I will forget. But I'll start with one last thing you said, which is about having a couple canes. I actually have a couple canes as well. I started with titanium. I don't know exactly what it's made of, but the first cane I was given from the Division of Blind Services there in Florida was one type of cane, which was a little heavier, a little tighter in its where it connects, so it kind of would get jammed a little bit when I was trying to pull it apart. Once my O&M trainer realized, oh wow, he actually uses his cane every day, they gave me a nicer, lighter, smoother cane, which I've been using pretty much every day since February of 2014 or something like that. No, 2014? Yeah, I guess so. February-ish of 2014. And I have a question for you at the end of this, Jess, but I just want to highlight a few things you said as well and point out thing you said. So first and foremost, like your cane is useful beyond the functional mobility that it gives you, that in lots of ways, one of the benefits of the cane is as identifier or indicator to others around you that you don't have perfect vision. If you're going to the grocery store and you want to use your cane, even if it's just to provide credibility to yourself when you have a question, when you go to the airport and ask for assistance, whether you need your cane to get to that. Yeah.
Andy, I think that's the most, No, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting at all, but I think that's the most important or the most powerful use of the cane is the identifier. I'm not going to twist an ankle with it, but I'm also going to be shown that I definitely can't see. And if I'm asking a weird question or looking at a bottle of ketchup, like I don't know what it is, like that's why. So, yes.
I know Bo here lives in New York as well and probably navigates around constantly just like I do. But I will say if you're around a place where maybe you'll ask for help, even in a place like New York City, which is not known to have the nicest of residents, although I would disagree with that stereotype, it will turn even people who are less inclined to give you assistance into the nicest people who are happy to kind of answer a question. And I don't mean someone who's patronizing and carrying you across the street. I just mean someone who's very happy to answer any question you have and understands why you're asking it rather than being surprised or skeptical of what that question is. So places like grocery stores, airports, walking around the street, anywhere that you may have questions like that. I know people who use canes to estimate how deep the snow is before they step off a curb. All of those types of things can be useful as well. Just mentioned walking on and off trains. All of those things are useful. And this goes beyond just the needing to navigate across normal sidewalks. There are several things your daughter, I think you said, Chloe, will learn in her O&M training about how to hold the cane, which side to tap when you're moving which foot, how to hold it when you're walking or rather waiting at a corner so it's more visible to folks. Mm-hmm. All of those things are valuable, but I'd say the most important thing you can do is, like Jess said, carry it with confidence. I will be the first to let you know, because I've written stories online about it as well. There will be a time where someone treats you differently in a way that you don't like because you're using that cane. And I don't want to act like that will never happen. That said, it does give you power. It does give you access to the world that you don't otherwise have. And having that confidence, I think, is really, really, really important. I also, and I don't know whether this is me being cocky as I say this, but as I think about misconceptions or stereotypes that people out there have about blind people, I love to be a blind person out there using my cane and breaking some of those misconceptions. And I encourage you all to think about it as you use your cane in the same way, that, hey, like people think all blind people are this, or people think all blind people are that. I'm not that way. Well, if that's the way you feel, be out there, use your cane and let people see you. And slowly we kind of break some of the misconceptions. I don't mean this to be soapboxy, but sometimes that's enough courage for me to go out there and use my cane as well. So I think it's important. And
Andy, I would say it's valuable. I would say you really need to figure out how to use your cane in your own time.
Right.
I remember when I was first affected, you know, some of my friends and family would say, oh, do you think you would ever need to use one of those white sticks? And I would say, no, that's not me. But then I realized eventually when I really did need to use it, you know, when I would crack an ankle traveling or when I would need it in airports, that, yeah, I really do need it. And it's so beneficial as an identifier. And maybe not a mobility device to get me around. It's, you know what I mean? It's not a wheelchair. It's not something to that effect, but it's more of an identifier. And I want to emphasize that so much that people really see it and say, oh, shoot, okay, she can't really, really see what's going on. Like, let me help her a little bit more.
Right. And I just want to highlight two things that you alluded to or said somewhat directly there, Megan. Like, one, don't feel that anyone here is forcing you to use a cane. If you're not comfortable using a cane, wait, and maybe you will be someday, or maybe you won't be, and that's okay. You're a part of this community no matter what, and we're happy just the way you are. That said, even when you begin using it, you don't have to use it all the time. You can decide, hey, I use it some of the time, I don't use it some of the time. I use it very rarely. I touch my cane once a year, once a month, once an hour. It doesn't really matter. Use it for the times that you see benefit from, and if those are few and far between, that's okay too. But there is value, I think, from a lot of people here using a cane. Some people use it walking around their own apartment, and some people use it only if they're going out of the country. However you choose to use it, I think is fine. My last question for you there, Jess, and I want to kind of go back to one thing you said. The second cane I was given way back in 2014, the nicer of the two, is an Ambutech cane. And I have realized recently, I change the tip every so often, not as often as I should. But even beyond that, my cane has started to have a lot of wear and tear. So I'm going to take the opportunity to ask my own personal question. What kind of maintenance do you all typically do on your canes? I know that they can be serviced by Ambutech if you send them in and those types of things. But now that my case is obviously closed with the state of Florida, do you all recommend maintaining them in certain ways or replacing them with some sort of frequency? And I'm just curious what you think, Jess.
I actually had the exact same question because I am only on cane number two. And I have others kind of stashed around, but I only use the same one. Should I be like, is it like a yearly thing? And in the sense of use, I do need mine, especially if it's dark, or there's shadows and things like that. So I do need mine to get around, in some cases. And so, yeah, I use mine quite a bit. And so I don't know. That's a great question. I Clorox wipe that thing because that's gross. Germs are gross, but yeah.
I would say for girls who use hair ties, this is going to be a really weird analogy, but for girls who use hair ties, you know when a hair tie snaps, that's when a cane will break. So it's when that rubber band snaps on the inside, and that's when you really, really, really need it. So that's kind of like my heads up is like, take care of that inside rubber band.
So I'm going to call out, I'm going to say two things, Megan. One, guys can wear hair ties.
I'm sorry, Andy. Yes.
and I have broken many hair ties as well. But two, that's basically where I am is right now as well, because I historically have kind of pulled the band or very tight. To kind of tighten my band at the top. And it's started to fray there. I know it's going to break sooner rather than later in some way. And I've never had that happen in 10 years of use most days of my life. But we'll be figuring that out some way or the other sooner rather than later.
Yeah, the only servicing thing I ever did was one of the canes I had at some point had what you were talking about where it would really stick together. And I had for some woodworking thing, some sort of oily wax kind of thing, and just put something like that on all the connections was the only servicing thing. But I've kind of gone through them, I guess, at a quicker pace than average. But so I haven't needed any rubber band. But they're also not so extraordinarily expensive that I feel like anything that was servicing that would cost money would almost be like your cane's away from you for enough time that. I think the new one was of the Ambutech was like $40 or something.
Right. No, I think that was both. Thank you so much for that. With that, Jess, we'll keep moving on because I know you wanted to talk about dogs and we can do that in a second. But before we get there, I wanted to kind of highlight one other comment that was shared here at the very beginning. I think it was Amanda, and I'm probably getting all these names wrong, so apologies. I'll say it was Amanda, who talked about her big win this week or month when she flew for the first time since losing her vision. I remember you and I celebrated that milestone a while back now, and now we're heavy travelers on our own. And so I certainly don't want any of you to think that you can't travel after losing your vision. But wanted to ask you, Jess, if you, and by all means, the answer can be no here, but have you had any big wins and or firsts in the past year or so since losing your vision? I'm curious. I can't necessarily think of one for me, but I'm curious what you have to say.
I think there's something I was like, ooh, yeah. So Years ago, I think it was about 5 years ago. So in order to, of course, this is going to be running related. The Boston Marathon used to recognize athletes with disabilities and kind of use them in, there was just one division. And that one division was had a specific qualifying time for people that were blind, visually impaired. Well, since about 5 years ago, they've actually created two divisions. And so there's the athletes with disabilities division, which is still like strong and proud. And I'm so happy to be part of it. And then there's also a para athletic division. And the para athletic division is actually, you have to have hit a qualifying time based on your age, gender, and then also just classification for disability. And that classification actually goes through the Olympic committee to qualify you based on your vision loss level. So I'll be running the Boston Marathon at the para athletic division. So that's a start line right behind the athletes. And if anybody placed at the Boston Marathon, the award ceremony is in Fenway, where the Red Sox play. So oh, cool. It's pretty exciting. So lots of excitement coming up. So, and I think it's really cool. I think it's great to, that Boston Marathon has recognized athletes with disabilities in so many different formats and fashions. And so it's really cool for that to be present. And hand cycles and wheelchairs actually are first before the professional athletes. So I super excited to be loud and proud about athletes with disabilities.
Oh yeah, those wheelchairs freaking cruise through that marathon. Oh, yeah. It's pretty amazing to watch.
So Andy, I'm going to speak up again. I feel like I'm like a chatterbox right now, but
I don't know if I introduced you all to our co-host Megan here tonight, but thank you. Sorry. Thank you for being here.
No, I told Maria and Jessica about this, but I was in tears probably like 3 months ago. I had to get my nails done because I was going on vacation and I could not go on vacation without getting my nails done. And I had to go by myself without my best friend or my mom. So my husband dropped me off. So I went by myself. I picked out my own colors. Like that was the first time I went by myself with my plateau of vision. And then my husband said, I could not pick you up, you know, at the right time. So I said, okay, you know, let's figure out if Ira can get me my lift. So Ira got me my lift and it took me home, you know, for my 3 minute drive home. And I got home and my husband was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. And I was in full tears. And that is just to get my nails done and get home. Like, that's crazy. But that was my big step.
No, I love that so much. I will, after having shared that I break hair ties in my own hair from time to time, I will share with everyone here that I get a manicure every 2 to 3 weeks here. And I'm fortunate enough that I'm only about 2 to 3 blocks from where I go. So it is one of the things that I have just decided, hey, you know what? It's cheap enough here. I'm not going to go through the hassle of doing that with vision or like with my limited vision rather. And it's something that is a little special thing I do for myself, but I'm really excited that you were able to get there and get home on your own, Megan. I realize dropped off, but that's awesome.
That's used to awesome. Be a priority for me because, you know, I lived in New York, I lived in San Francisco, and now I live in the suburbs of New Jersey. So now I need to figure out how to do it on my own. So, that was my big step.
Check out that's the awesome. Stickers. Have you seen that?
Yes. Yes.
But that's awesome. Congrats, Megan. Thanks. And what color did you pick?
Oh, most just part. Like a simple light baby pink, you know?
Oh, perfect.
That's awesome. Perfect. I know there are lots of, and like, I'm trying to like rack my brain here about lots of big celebratory firsts that I've heard people talk about, everything from people reading their first book in Braille to people riding a bike or people, going skiing or going on a vacation, even as simple as, hey, I went somewhere, and did something. You mentioned getting on a plane for the first time. Others may celebrate getting on a plane for the first time on their own or using a cane or a guide dog. To me, some of the things that are really powerful are the things that kind of remind me how much, how great I can still be after losing my vision. I remember like going to my first job interviews or getting my first promotion or getting my first job as a blind person, not the job I had when I was blind, but the first job I got fully blind the whole time. Those things are big milestones for me. I mean, I like getting on a stage and holding a microphone from time to time. And I remember the first time I did that after I lost my vision. All of these things are big milestones for me. Or moving, living alone. All of these things are things that I did after I lost my vision and were really meaningful to me. So encourage you all to kind of track those for yourself in some way so you have something to celebrate or something you're looking forward to. And little or gigantic, it doesn't matter, big or small, we need to find those things to celebrate. And I encourage you all to kind of think about those as you're calling in here and do like Amanda did and share it with us and let us celebrate you a little bit. So kudos to Amanda and all of you for the big and small things you accomplished last month.
That's so great. I do have to admit, it, for any of you that had joined, I think it was a February's call. We actually talked, we did like a whole wins call and just like talking about celebrating small little things. So, I mean, you can totally laugh that Annie and I have been co-hosts for quite some time that we're like saying similar things in Demon Planet. So high five to you, Andy.
Well, I'm sorry if you all had to hear me say exactly what Jess said recently, but
no, but we had a cool call. And so this might be a really good idea for down the road. We had a call kind of talking through like wins and just like, or small celebrations or like really cool things that happened. And it was so much fun just because it was just like, I did a smaller time frame, but I really think we should definitely bring this back. So yeah, no, glad you brought that up.
Sure. Jess, is there anything else you want to talk about before we kind of, not as if things haven't been open the whole time, but ask about any other things on folks' minds?
I don't think so. Unless were you going to share any ones that you had?
Not any recent ones. You heard my spiel about the things I've celebrated. I mean, I guess we got a dog. So I walk my dog alone now. You mentioned that earlier. So we got my wife and I'm married and do not live alone any longer. My wife and I do in fact live together. And we got a dog a little over a month ago, and you all will laugh when you hear my dog's name based on what many of you know about me. But our dog's name is Chef, like Chef Boyardee. And he is, I don't know, between 2 and 3 years old, small Westie mix of sorts. Some could call me a cheater for opting out of getting a puppy and having to go through all of that. But he's been a great addition. He struggles to make it up and down 4 flights of stairs several times a day sometimes. But he's a good dog. So encourage anyone who's considering getting a dog, maybe consider getting an adult that you don't have to go through the whole puppy thing with. But I do walk him several times a day on my own as well. So there's that. We'll call that a win. Anything else you wanted to chat about, Jess, or any questions from folks there who, whether you're a first time caller or you've been on every call since June of 2014, any questions, comments, thoughts you have? I'm just reminding everyone, the recording is still on right now. We'll make sure that around the top of the hour, which is only about 10 minutes from now, I'll try and turn the recording off in case any of you have questions and do not want them recorded. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to share too. I did hear a couple new callers on. So definitely please feel free to jump in and ask questions. There's actually a pretty good group on here and lots of veterans. So this is the perfect time to ask any questions that might pop up or come to mind.
Speaking of things that folks may be interested in, Jess, normally if we had taken notes, this is around the time I'd ask you to highlight the calls we have coming up this month. So if you want to maybe kind of start prepping that, actually, I may have it in an email right here. I think maybe it's worth highlighting those calls we have, because for those who don't know, this was the first LHON call, but we have spawned many, many other LHON calls, regional calls or affinity specific calls or basically demographic specific calls. And many of those happen each month. So Jess, if you happen to have the list there in front of you or want me to look it up, maybe it's worth highlighting the other calls we have coming up.
Yes, I'll have that prepped in 2 seconds.
It looks like the first one is on set at 60 plus on April 10th. I'll let you go from there though.
The next one you might want to have Paul talk a little bit about, because on April 12th, it's a new one that we've never done before. Paul, do you want to talk
about Phantom Images?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that one, Paul?
I will. So yeah, we're going to do Charles Bonnet Syndrome Awareness and Share Experiences, and just sort of have an open forum call about Charles Bonnet Syndrome and the experiences of it people affected with LHON.
Paul, for those who don't know, do you mind letting some folks know who may be new or haven't heard the phrase Charles Bonnet Syndrome, what that refers to?
Charles Bonnet Syndrome is very similar to a phantom limb syndrome, when somebody loses a limb but still experiences a sensation or pain in that limb. Although Charles Bonnet Syndrome is a pain-free condition that causes people who suffer significant, you know, vision loss to see phantom images or hallucinations, if you will. And so it's some people are experience this and others do not. It's kind of a mystery. It's the brain's way of filling the gap between what that signal between the retina and the part of the brain that's used for seeing. It's just trying to do something, and that something can result in these phantom images, and they can be anything from just sort of benign geometric and orbs of light, or they can be quite interesting from a standpoint of seeing people in olden days costumes. There's about a good 10 categories of different types of phantom images that people can experience. There's no auditory component to it, and it is not a mental health condition.
Right. That's a good thing to highlight there. Just for anyone who didn't hear Lissa say it originally, that call is Wednesday, April 12th. So that will be a week from today, actually, 5 p.m. Pacific. So exact same time as this call, just 1 week later. Jess, I'll keep going unless you cut me off. The next call is Dads of LHON Affected Kids of All Ages. That's in quotes here. Call. So that's really dads of anyone who's been affected, kid or older. That call is 2 weeks from today, so Wednesday, April 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. The next call is Assistive Tech Connect, so talking about assistive technology. That one's Monday, April 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific, so all of these so far have been the same time. And that's the last one I see here. If there's anything else to be highlighted call-wise, let me know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. A couple things to know quick. The teens and young adults call has been canceled for this month, but stay tuned and definitely keep your eye out, or your email for, additional information on that, but that is not going away. It's just been canceled for this month. So definitely stay tuned for that. Did want to kind of circle back and highlight that there was, onset after 60, that call is on April 10th. Not to miss that one. And then to join all of these calls, it's actually the exact same link that you got to get to this call.
Exactly. So it's the same phone number or same Zoom link you're seeing. And Lissa, I want to go ahead and call out, because I'll confess I don't always read these emails beforehand, but there is a highlight here in this month's LHON.org email, highlighting a gathering for any folks in the Toronto area. I wanted to highlight that because I heard at least one person from Ontario on the call. So that's May 12th. And there are more details both in the Facebook group, I'm sure, but also in this email that came out this time. So if you're interested in that.
And actually someone caught me on that. I have the wrong date. It's not the 12th, which is a Friday. It's actually the day after that, Saturday, the 13th. So sorry for the typo in the email. You're reading it right, but I wrote it wrong. But yeah, it's on May 13th, Saturday. The LHON Canada group has a Facebook group, and the info's in there if anyone needs it.
Well, with that, before we kind of take the opportunity to turn off the recording for folks who may have questions they don't want recorded, Are there any final questions, comments that folks want to make around anything we talked about or broader questions? Well, if not, the last thing I want to do, like I always do before I turn off the recording for any folks who happen to be listening after the fact, is remind you all when the next call will be. And I believe that is going to be on the first Wednesday of every month. So next month, that will be May 3rd. So the day before Star Wars Day, in case that helps you remember it, May the 3rd, next month. 2023, as Jess said, same time, same call in. So that's 8 p.m. Eastern here, 5 p.m. Pacific here in the U.S. Same LHON call in, same phone number, same everything. And we will look forward to that. With that, I'm going to stop the recording once I figure out these new icons. And we invite you all to hang around as long as you want.
Aw,
there we go.
Aw.
Stop recording.